This is the OTB Television Network, a service of Capital District Off-Track Betting.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. I'm Seth Merrow. Just wrapped up the Handicapper's Report, and now we jump into Racing Across America. We're going to talk a little Belmont later on. The Big A, Anthony Stabile, will jump in and join us, kind of set the table for the Belmont meet. We'll talk a little Belmont Oaks and more with Anthony. Again, Belmont, and we'll get some of his thoughts on the Saratoga meet as it wrapped up. We will also have maybe a little news and notes, a little brief segment before we get to Anthony. But we'll kick things off. Yesterday, talked to Ernie Perry, clocker, morning line, odds maker up at Woodbine. Because normally we'd be up there. We would be bringing you live coverage of Woodbine Mile Day. And I feel bad that we aren't up there because, boy, it's a really nice addition of the Woodbine Mile, fun addition of the Woodbine Mile with some nice stakes supporting it. Tomorrow they have the two-year-old races in Talma two-year-old races up there. The summer tomorrow on the two-year-old side of things. So again, I feel bad that we can't be up there bringing you some live coverage, but I did want to preview the Woodbine card, and so I thought we'd reach out to Ernie. We caught up with him yesterday because Ernie's a clocker. He also participates in their pregame show, so it was just kind of easier to play with his schedule if we could tape him yesterday. So caught up with Ernie Perry from Woodbine yesterday to talk a little bit about the Woodbine Mile, but also some of the other undercard stakes and more. So up next from Woodbine, Ernie Perry. Welcome back to Racing Across America. It is Woodbine Mile Day. Usually we would be up there live and in person, but of course in the era of coronavirus, that didn't work out, but I certainly wanted to reach out to Woodbine and get some comments. So why not our friend Ernie Perry, the clocker up there, but also does the morning line. You can see him on the pregame show. Ernie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Seth. Glad to be here today.
Yeah, happy to have you on board and talk a little Woodbine. You and I were talking before we came on the air here, and I talked to Ron Gierkink last week in prep for the Queen's Plate, but I'll get your thoughts, and you kind of relayed them to me, as I said before we went on the air, seeming very similar to what we up here were saying throughout the last couple of months vis-a-vis Saratoga. But just give me your thoughts on the Woodbine season so far and the no-fan situation.
Yeah, so we actually started a little late, and there was a few people here last week, but obviously not the same. And I'm a big Saratoga fan, and I'm there every year for the last 10, 12 years. And that was a disappointment. I know you said you've been working it, and it's a ghost town there. It's just too bad. And really a ghost town here. I mean, thank God for online betting, keeping us afloat, but you still would like to see the fans in the stands for sure.
Yeah, no question about it. And as you mentioned, the betting at various venues at Saratoga just slightly under their handle last year. Last week up at Woodbine, the Queen's Plate, I think I read the third highest handle for Queen's Plate Day, so doing very well. And just before we get to Woodbine Mile and some of the stakes coming up on Saturday afternoon, let's go back to last week and get your thoughts. Josie Carroll 1-2, but not with Curlin's Voyage. Mighty Heart over Belichick. Clayton runs third. The favorite, Curlin's Voyage, a little bit disappointing, running fifth. What were your thoughts on last week's Queen's Plate?
So the funny thing is that Belichick from day one was always being pointed to the Queen's plate. Took a different path by still being a maiden and coming back with some low figures, but always has trained well and actually has run well. Just a little green. I thought that was due to being a Colt, but, you know, very green. So that was always the plan. And you can see in the plate that, you know, he finally figured it out, sort of. Came from far back, but at least finished a closing second. Mighty Heart, I remember the work two starts was fantastic. And, you know, I didn't mind that horse. Now it was obviously set up different where he went to the lead, and great ride by Fukumoto, and congratulations to him. But, yeah, I didn't quite like the filly in the race, and she didn't run well, but a little disappointing Clayton or the filly didn't run too well.
Yeah, again, Mighty Heart at 13-1. Belichick, again, lightly raced, but as you say, pointed to the race at 26-1. Completes the Josie Carroll exacta for a buck. He got back $365. So not bad there for the folks who were rooting for Josie Carroll last week in the Queen's Plate. And again, nice day last week. And more of the same this afternoon with the Woodbine Mile and a couple other stakes we're going to take a look at. Before we get to that, you know, you mentioned watching some of these horses in the morning and just visiting the Woodbine site over the past couple of days and looking in prep for Woodbine Mile. Do want to remind people, they can find your Clocker's Report pretty regularly on the Woodbine site, correct? And where you tout some horses who maybe did look good in the morning.
Yeah, so, and we've actually had a nice year. A couple of weeks ago, I put a horse on, and it's a group effort from the gang. We had a horse on at 23-1 that paid $48.
Nice.
And 2 weeks later, a horse that outworked that horse actually won at 7-1. So, yeah, every Saturday or Friday afternoon, it goes on. I keep it to four horses that I think, you know, for the Saturday, Sunday, that have been working well. And it's, you know, it's racing, Seth. Some have panned out, some haven't. So the good ones make you look good, and some of the ones make you look pretty bad. But, hey, that's why we keep getting up in the morning.
Yeah, 23-1, you don't have to have a whole lot of them be right. They can be right.
Yeah.
Just
for a while, it's keeping me afloat for a while.
And then to have a horse that outworked that one come back and pay 7-1. Those are the kind of stories that I think validate workout reports. We talk about them a lot up at Saratoga.
Right.
Because it's giving you a little information that's not necessarily on the page. So, again, you can check out the Woodbine website for the workout reports. All right, let's get into it. Let's start top of the feature list with the Woodbine Mile, and we'll kind of work our way around to some of the other stakes. But the Woodbine Mile, a grade one event, $1 million up for grabs, as the name suggests, a mile on the grass. While we talk, I'm going to pull up the King Edward. We're going to watch number 2, March the Arch, win. Number 7, Admiralty Pier, run second. They'll be back on Saturday. But, man, this is a nice field. Cheryl Spite, who they were talking about potentially for the Kentucky Derby, is in here. Starship Jubilee for Kevin Attard, who we saw win the Ballston Spa right up here at Saratoga this summer. Chad Brown and Klarovich bring in value proposition. And Mark Cassie has War Will off the win in the Maker's Mark Mile down at Keeneland in the latest. This is really a loaded race. I'm just sad I'm not up there to watch the race, because this is going to be a lot of fun on Saturday afternoon. What are your thoughts on the mile?
Yeah, I'm glad it's quality, because usually we get 11 to 12 horses, and that was a little disappointment. But when you really looked at the quality, you can make a case for almost 7 of the 8 horses. So the quality is definitely there.
Yeah, no question about it. What are your thoughts? Which direction are you leaning towards?
Well, we don't know where Admiralty Pier is going to run cross-entered as well in the King Edward. So that one, I'm sorry, it's cross-entered in the Singspiel. So we don't know where that one's going to run. And obviously, War of Will is the favorite. This horse hasn't worked up here, but I've seen the horse gallop. So I can tell you the horse is in fine form, great shape in the morning. Ears pricked, ready to run. You know, the rider's trying to hold him, but not too tightly and letting him do his thing. So he's in fine form. Cheryl Spite, like you mentioned, I don't know. This horse is jumping right into an older grade one race. This horse will be a stakes winner, is a stakes winner, and you will hear from this horse as it gets older, for sure. Didn't know what to do with this one on the line, if people are going to buy the hype, but this one is a super nice-looking horse, works fantastic. And if he wins this one, that'll put him on the map right away. But you'll definitely hear from this one as this one gets older. And then you have Philly, Starship Jubilee. I love those races in Saratoga. And she's tough, a little lower on the buyer numbers. But, you know, for me, the hand that's dealt looks like a Cassie, March to the Arch, War of Will. A lot of people are going that direction.
Yeah, as you kind of alluded to, I'm going to be interested to see what Cheryl Spite does. Again, they were thinking about potentially the Derby, but you look underneath, and the workout lines are very intriguing. Go back to August 13th, a 57. That's a great workout. And then they come back on August 21st and put in a mile workout, which is something you don't see. The Bullet on September 8th. Again, working very well. They had the ambitions for this horse with potentially the Derby. He's going to be fun to watch. Only the third career start, goes against older and a salty group of older horses. But Cheryl Spite's going to be a lot of fun to watch on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, if the horse won, would have surprised me? No, but biting a big bite here. But training fantastically. That mile work was with four different horses. Started two at the wire and then picked up two at the half. So the best work on the page is, I think, the September 8th, 59 and 4, and the 57 and August 13th. So has come right back after that mile work. So I can't wait to see this one run.
Yeah, me too. I'm looking forward to it. As I say, it is a loaded edition of the Woodbine Mile on Saturday. Singspiel, grade 3 event, $125,000 up for grabs, going the mile and a quarter. Up at Woodbine on the turf. I pulled up the Eclipse going back to July 4th. That's a couple races back for Skywire. Last time finished second in the Seagram Cup, but a nice win for the Cassie trainee again on July 4th. Will be the number 6 horse in here again in the Eclipse Stakes. But also Admiralty Pier again is cross-entered in this race. Tis a Slam is last year's winner of this race for Roger Atfield, but kind of tossed in a clunker in the Seagram last time, so it's going to be interesting to see what that one does. And Nakamura ships north for Graham Motion, and just on that factor, I think that horse is worth taking a look. Standard Deviation also for Graham Motion could be a little bit of a player. Your thoughts on the Singspiel?
Yeah, I like Nakamura. Obviously, I like the, anything that usually comes in from Saratoga on the turf there is pretty tough, and the horse was favored. Last time finished third, but I think it'll be tough. I don't know what to make of Tis a Slam. I think a mile and 16th to Peter was just way too short. So getting back to the turf, the horses look good in the morning. So getting back to the distance, a mile and a quarter on the turf should be helpful for this one, although I still think it likes to go a little longer. And again, Admiralty Pier. I made 4-1 here and a longer shot in the mile, so I still don't know where that one's going to go. And Skywire's been training well. The turf form is not the best on Skywire, 0-2 on the turf, but has been training very well.
Yeah, and Mark Cassidy's having a pretty good meet. I will alert people to that because he was unusually cool here at Saratoga, but other venues down in Kentucky he's done well, and up at the Woodbine he's had a season that is more Mark Cassidy-like. And so don't disregard the Cassie horses in these races if you've been a Saratoga watcher based on what he did up at Saratoga, because, as I say, that was an unusual meet for Cassie up here. Let's go a little earlier in the day. The Ontario Racing, these are two-year-olds. They're going to go 5 furlongs on the grass. And while we talk, I pulled up the race from Colonial Downs back on July 28th. Amsden gets it done in the career debut for Wesley Ward, who has shipped some limited starters up to Woodbine, but has done very well at Woodbine this season. Picks up leading jockey Stein. That attracted my attention as well. So I think Amsden is very interesting in here, but super classy. The number's a little light, but I could see that one stepping up. Ready to Repeat, obviously, for Gail Cox is a player in here. Quick Tempo, coming off the win at Arlington with a buyer that stacks up really nicely with this bunch. I could kind of make a case. Buyer-wise, some of them seem a little light, but they're lightly raced, probably with still some nice upside potential. I could probably make a case for all of them in here. What are your thoughts on the Ontario Racing?
Yeah, so it's the inner turf, and usually You know, horses that go to the front on the inner turf and show speed do very well. Now, I count about four or five of them that will go to the front. And, you know, you saw Fracatelli last week go to the front and put one away and kept on going. So that was a good frame of reference of a nice horse that relished the front. But obviously, yeah, I've been Wesley Ward, anytime he sends two-year-olds up here, he's lights out. Ready to repeat the last race, was bumped a little, but didn't show as much as I would like it, obviously, at even money. I love Super Classy, first time out. Big step up in class, though. But this is a horse that doesn't, in the morning, work fast, but beats a lot of horses, so that's not a bad sign. And I know the trainer number two is very high on their horse. I mean, two-year-old, first-time starter, going into a stake. I love the mother like a gem. Won the one to wear, obviously, at a distance. But the breeding is there. You know, the barn is high on the horse. The horse has looked okay in the morning. Haven't seen anything really stick out special from the horse. But hey, for the barn to throw a horse in here, first time out and take a shot, something you might want to consider. But, and you can't leave out Trombetta. He comes here and he's 5 for 14, 36%. And he's got one of the better closers in the race. So I would probably lean to that one there. But some of the speed will definitely hold as well.
Yeah, Trombetta's horse coming up from a third in the Skidmore at Saratoga last time in the first try on turf, so may benefit move forward from that. Contreras on board there. Before we move on to the other stake, as I mentioned, Contreras, last week when I had Ron Gierkink on, I said, who are some of the human folks we should be watching if folks haven't necessarily been paying attention over the summertime as closely, trainer-wise or jockey-wise? He mentioned Fukumoto, who then comes back and wins the Queen's Plate. You have any thoughts? I mean, as I said, Stein currently riding very well at the meet. That may be a name that folks aren't as familiar with from previous years. But thoughts on the jockey-trainer side of things at the meet this year?
Yeah, Stein is unbelievable. He was 13 behind Hernandez and caught up. Fukumoto, ever since he did win the Queen's Plate, he's got a lot of confidence right now. So he's riding very well. Gail Cox is probably having her best year to date, and she's got ready to repeat in here. So yeah, she's doing well. You know, Cassie, you can never discount Cassie, obviously. But like I said, Gail Cox is having she won a stake race last week with a 22-1 shot, so she can spring one.
Yeah, and going back, did she upset the Woodbine Mile last year, right?
Right, with El Tormenta.
Yeah,
at
exactly.
44-1.
Yeah, exactly. So the story there is got to pay attention to her on the big days, obviously.
Right.
All right, the final stake we'll look at the Woodbine Cares. It's the 10th race. The Mile is the 9th race, and the Mile kicks off a late pick four. So this 10th will be the second leg of that late pick four. Again, these are two-year-olds. These are two-year-old fillies going 5 on the grass. I pulled up the maiden optional claimer at Woodbine from August 20th. The number one is Rocket Reload. Off of that one, I thought this horse was interesting, but maybe more importantly, a 46-bullet workout coming into this. A 34-bullet workout on August 6th for Mark Cassie's Super Munnings. Now, this one has raced since then, but has raced well, so that horse is a player as well for Mark and Live Oak Plantation, as the name would indicate, the super name there, Super Munnings. Again, a nice, fun field, lightly raced, probably plenty of upside for some of these horses. Your thoughts in race 10, the Woodbine Cares?
Yeah, so funny enough, on the August 16th race, Super Munnings debuted with Dirty Dango. I had Dirty Dangle as one of my horses in the clock report at 9-2 and beat Super Munnings, even though Super Munnings did have that super work of 34. I like Dirty Dangle there. Now, you know, I think Dirty Dangle also worked on the turf in 46-1, so you might want to consider her at a price. But I believe that Wesley Ward's Illegal Smile is going to be a low price and it's going to be very tough. Alda and Dreaming of Drew are running tomorrow, so they're going to be tough. But I think the race goes through Illegal Smile here. I think she's going to be very, very tough.
Yeah, it ran in the Catch a Glimpse up there last time, and I almost pulled up that one. Ran third, as you say, behind Alda. And Alda, I'm assuming that there's been some nice reaction to what Alda's done up there this season.
Yeah, and Dreaming of Drew came back with a super work as well, so she's going to be tough as well in the Natalma with Alda. Those are the two favorites there. So I think that frame of reference alone leaves Illegal Smile as the one to beat.
And so watch this race also to watch Illegal Smile and maybe get a little barometer on those two tomorrow if Illegal Smile runs nicely.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, that'll give you a little heads up on those two tomorrow as well. Ernie, as always, appreciate the visit. As I said, wish we were up there with you and chatting. We were sitting in our usual set there on the second floor, and we had you sitting next to us because it's always fun. You guys, great hospitality, and it's a really fun venue up there. So I wish we were there, but we'll watch from afar. And as I say, we've been appreciating your commentary on the pregame show, and happy to have you in this morning to talk a little bit about Woodbine Mile Day. And, of course, we will talk again.
Yeah, hopefully next year, Saratoga, will be there right away.
Yeah, looking forward to that possibility. We're always knocking wood, but looking forward to it. Ernie, thanks a lot. Ernie Perry, clocker and morning line odds maker up at Woodbine. You can also watch him on the pregame show. A little preview, Woodbine Mile Day. Woodbine Mile stacked, and as you saw, some of the other races have some real promise as well. Those two-year-old races, the Singspiel, also a very nice field. So a great Saturday coming up at Woodbine. Yeah, I feel bad we can't be up there as we normally are. We're normally up for Queen's Plate beginning of the summer and then kind of wind up the summer going up for this Woodbine Mile weekend, and it's always fun. The hospitality from the Woodbine people is great, but B, it's just a fun venue. If you've never been there, obviously you can't go now. You can't even get across the border now, much less go to the racetrack. But I've said it in the past, if you've never been, when things return to normal, put it on your agenda. It's an easy ride. You pop the thruway out to Buffalo and take a right across the border, maybe another hour, maybe not even quite that long from Buffalo. So it's an easy ride, and maybe make a racetrack ride of it. Maybe schedule things out so you can get in a Fort Erie stop or a Finger Lakes stop, because they're right on the way as well. But it's a fun venue with a unique outside turf course. I have said it, the first time we went up there, I was watching a turf race, looking up at the monitor just inside the grandstand, and they turned for home, and my horse took the lead. And I thought, hey, great. And so at that point, I walked down the steps to get a look from outside, and then you look up that stretch, and you realize, oh, they have a long way to go. So it's not so wonderful necessarily that you've taken the lead at the top of the stretch on that turf course. Now, of course, they have the inner turf course as well, so lots of turf racing. Folks love that. Again, disappointing that we can't be up there this year, given the circumstances, but I did want to include a Woodbine preview because it is a fun day of racing today with the Woodbine Mile, which looks like a fun race. Three other stakes also. I'll be looking at Woodbine a little bit later on OTB Live, so tune in later this afternoon as we will look at some Woodbine on Woodbine Mile Day and handicap some of the races in with Churchill, a little Belmont as well. Monmouth fires up today also. So some great racing on the network a little bit later on. But as I say, Woodbine will be in the mix on OTB Live coming up a little bit later on this afternoon. The Big A, Anthony Stabile, will join us in a couple of minutes. But as I said, did have some news and notes I wanted to hit on. First, thanks to our friend Tom Law, the folks at Saratoga Special. Tom compiled the Saratoga Handicapper Scorecard. I was pretty pleased with my results this year, I must admit, but wound up chasing. And every week when I had Tom in up at Saratoga, we would talk steeplechase and update things for the Saratoga Special, because obviously they do great coverage of the meet. But I had Tom in every week, and we talked about that Saratoga Special handicappers, and we were chasing John Sapazian, and that's the way it ended up. Sapazian really has been the guy to chase on the public handicapper side of things for the last couple of seasons, continued it this year, 135 wins. So again, congratulations to John Sapazian. I had Tom Law in with me to talk the rescheduled steeplechase race for closing day. So I had him on Labor Day morning, and that morning we were talking that we were tied in second place. Each of us had 118, both looking to get to the 120 mark. Well, Tom did it with five winners. I only managed three on Monday, so hats off to Tom for the second place finish. Nice finish for the Saratoga Special Handicappers. Again, I was happy to have 121, finished in third amongst the public handicappers. It was a good season for me up at Saratoga. I haven't had the chance to sit down yet, check my ROI. About 3 weeks in, maybe even 4 weeks in, still was showing a positive ROI. I'm going to sit down my days off this week, Monday and Tuesday, and kind of compile that and pop up the results on Equidaily. And again, that's where, I did the picks here for Capital OTB in the one sheet when I was in doing the handicapper support in the morning, which was, 4 days a week, 3 or 4 days a week. But the other days, I handicapped the full card over on Equidaily. Did the full card on Equidaily throughout the entire meet, and that's where I got the 121 from. Did the, as I say, the full card every day of the meet. 409 races, which I think was a little more than last year. But for the 121 winners I had on top, just about 30%. So again, I was pretty happy with my results over the course of the Saratoga season. That averages 3 winners a day over the 40 days. So again, happy with the way things played out at Saratoga. We will try to keep it rolling as we move along into the Belmont meet and whatnot, and the one sheet here at Capital OTB and doing OTB Live in the afternoon. But again, that kind of wraps up. It used to be about, there used to be about 24 public handicappers. And I had the scorecard for years over on Equidaily. I would do the scorecard with, as I say, there was a box in the Daily News of handicappers, a box in the New York Post. Some of those have disappeared, but still, we have about 16 on there. And so, again, hats off to John Schapese. Oh, and I will tout, if you go over to my Equidaily site, there's a link to the Saratoga Special archive, and the last edition came out after the meet and after the Kentucky Derby and whatnot, which was kind of their wrap-up edition that Tom Locke talked about. And it has this scorecard in. So, again, thanks to Tom for compiling that. But it also had a nice little profile of John Schapesian, who, great guy. I run into him occasionally up at the harness track or right out here in the clubhouse race book. He's not just handicapping during the Saratoga meet. He's playing all year long. And, again, if you pull up the last edition this season of the Saratoga Special, which, again, I've linked to on Equidaily, you can read that profile of John Schapese, and it was kind of fun to check that out as well. Talked a little bit about this on the handicapper support, but just want to reiterate and tip our cap also to Steve Asmussen. 9,000 wins. He got 2 yesterday to get to the 9,000 win mark. Just, what a phenomenal accomplishment that is. He's still number 2 on the all-time list behind Dale Baird, but as Brian Eddo said earlier, looking up his stats from this year, maybe a couple of years away from going past Dale Baird, and whereas Dale Baird has 9,445 winners and Asmussen at 9,000, Dale Baird earnings $35 million as compared to $338 million for Steve Asmussen. But I was curious and I looked up. He's not number 1 on the all-time earnings list. That is Todd Pletcher. Asmussen, $338 million. Todd Pletcher, all-time, $394 million. Asmussen chasing Pletcher on the earnings side and Dale Baird on the win side. Dale Baird is probably a little more logically in the sights in that Pletcher's still active, and so we will see. But again, congratulations to Steve Asmussen on just 9,000 wins. And we said it, to get 9,000, you play at the top of the game, you play down at the claiming ranks as well, horses all over the country. So again, just a great achievement for Steve Asmussen, who was quoted last night as graciously crediting his team as well, which plays, obviously, when you have horses all over the country, does play an important part in that level of success. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, the fall meet underway at Belmont. It kicked off yesterday. We'll kind of set the table for that fall meet and talk some of the racing today down at Belmont with the big A, Anthony Stabile, right after this. Stay tuned.
Betway's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Stone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
In front, but here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Bob Bob. These two are travels head to head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
As promised before the break, joined now by our friend Anthony Stabile, the Big A. Belmont Park got underway yesterday, so I thought we'd set the table a little bit, look at some of the action for today. Anthony, good morning.
Morning, Seth. What's happening?
Not too much. I wanted to pull you in again to set the table a little bit for Belmont, but before we do that, just wanted to go back. We talked to you towards the end of the Saratoga meet, but we hadn't put that one in the books yet, and I just wanted to get some thoughts reflecting on Saratoga. We talked during the handicapper support a little bit earlier with Brian Addo, and I said Naira did a great job during the meet, and the city of Saratoga, I think, did a great job kind of giving people the option to take advantage. You were out at Prime quite a bit, and that was a great location to watch. And I also mentioned it was a lot of fun coming down to that last weekend and right into the last day. Trainers battle, Todd Pletcher gets it done. And the jockeys battle, which literally came down to the last race, Irod Ortiz got it done there. Just added a little juice to that closing weekend.
The meet, I think the thing you take out of it is we missed the fans, obviously. That was first and foremost, I think, in everybody's mind. And hopefully things get back to normal next year. Whatever the new normal is, I hope it involves the fans packing that place, packing the old spot. That's one. Two, yeah, the racing was fantastic. The trainers and jockeys races added excitement to that. And three, and maybe after the fans, the most important thing, we got through the meet unscathed.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people would have thought that. To be honest, I think if you had taken a poll on July 15th, day before opening day, and would have said, we're not going to have a stoppage, we're not going to have a positive, we're not going to have anything, I don't think anybody would have said, I agree. And we did. And it's just an amazing job we did at Naira, an amazing job. You know, it shows when the community and the organization can come together and pull this off, right? I know we sold a lot of Naira Bets cards over at Prime. You guys were out at Prime. You guys were over at the Embassy Suites, right? Everybody made it work. And most importantly, put the fans first. And gave the fans an outlet to enjoy a day at the races. I had friends who came to Prime who said they actually felt like they were at the track, which was probably the nicest thing anybody could have said to me all meet. And yeah, just an amazing job to everybody upstate. I miss everybody. I miss all you guys. Coming up Christmas time, I'm not going to let 10 months go between visits. So we'll meet up for a beer Christmas time.
I went over, had some fried clams at Eddie F's the other night and ran into the folks from Salivo. And I said, I think the Naira folks were giving you some good press during the meet. And I have not been to Salivo yet. I have to get there. But I did enjoy the fried clams at Eddie F's. And I've touted you already for putting me onto the seafood roll out of Prime at Saratoga National.
Yeah, Salivo's great. I'm a Nove guy through and through. Happy birthday, by the way, to Louis Lazanaro, the owner of Nove. It's his birthday today. And I'm a Nove guy, but the food at Salivo is amazing as well. I was there a couple of times this meet with Adam from Saratoga Water, our sponsor at Talking Horses, and with Johnny Brial. So I had a good time over at Salivo as always. And of course, I'm like 11. My body encompasses like 11% Nove.
Very good. I like that. But again, just the downtown kind of played out and played into it, and everybody keeping safe and social distancing. The city allowing some of the restaurants to have those concrete barriers, which allowed outside dining. So as you say, and as we've all been saying, knock wood, everything comes back to some semblance of normal next year, and folks are on track. But we have now moved down to Belmont. Talk a little bit about, before we talk specifically racing today, Belmont and your appreciation for the track. I watch you guys. You have a great setup, which I've visited on some of the upper floors at Belmont to do the pregame show. But I will say, summer up here in upstate, summer has waved goodbye already. And I look at that set and think, you guys are kind of in the shade there. So with weather like this, you got to bundle up a little bit. But it is a great set overlooking Big Sandy, as it were.
For my fellow Game of Thrones fans, winter has come. It was chilly up there yesterday. It's a little chillier today. I'm assuming it's going to be a little chillier up there as well. The wind is, I don't know if this is the remnants of Sally still. I know she was just south of Monmouth Park yesterday. We didn't get any real rain from it. I think we got a little spritz overnight, Thursday into Friday. It didn't affect anything. But the winds are around, so it's cool and it's a little windy. And that often makes for a bit of an unhappy co-host. Andy doesn't have as much natural insulation as I do, so we'll see if he breaks the hat and gloves out today. I am patiently waiting to see. But yeah, meet's underway. Had a good day yesterday. Actually caught the early pick five yesterday.
Nice.
So it was a nice start to me. I did over a little over $1,000. Nice start to the meet. I don't think you saw any kind of real biases yesterday. And again, we're only 10 races in, but always look forward to this meet. I'm a Belmont guy through and through. Aqueduct's been like a second home to me. I live a mile from Aqueduct, but my favorite building on the planet is beautiful Belmont Park. I'm happy to be back. The fall championship meet. I was telling Bobby Newman this yesterday on our HRN show, Race Day. I don't measure the racing year from January 1st to December 31st. For me, the racing year kind of starts now, and we wrap it at Saratoga. And it's almost like how the TV shows do it. Like, after Labor Day, we get all the new shows and first-run episodes. I feel like now starts the year and the run-up to the Breeders' Cup. And this weekend, with just the Belmont Oaks Invitational here, a little bit quiet. It's actually our only stakes race this weekend. We had the Miners Mark yesterday that went to Danny, California. We have the Belmont Oaks Invitational today. No stakes tomorrow, but then the floodgates open. There are winning your in-races for the next 3 weekends here at Belmont Park for the Breeders' Cup, which is just 7 weeks away, amazingly. And, this meet's always fantastic. I like seeing the late-blooming two-year-olds. They get to go to mile, and the mile on the 16th out of that shoot. My boy Tacitus debuted here a couple of years back in one of those mile on the 16th races. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to the late-blooming two-year-olds, and one of my favorite races of the year is always the Jockey Club Gold Cup.
Yeah, I think a lot of folks are looking forward to the fall Belmont meet, as they do annually like you. All right, speaking of the Belmont meet and the stake today, the Belmont Oaks, let's start out by taking a look at that one. Grade one event, $250,000 up for grabs. I talked about this one earlier on the Handicappers Report. I went with Antoinette coming off of the win up Saratoga and the Saratoga Oaks. I think maybe she gets the same kind of a setup and can lope along a little bit, but Magic Attitude is going to be the one that's the question mark coming out of a couple of group ones over in France. Just may run away and hide from this bunch. I said it earlier, though. Whereas Magic Attitude 4 or 5 years ago might have been an automatic for me, I'm not as sold on the European shippers in the last 2 or 3 years as I was, you know, as I say, going back 5 or 10 years ago. So I'm tilting slightly towards Antoinette. What are your thoughts on the Oaks?
I got to tell you, Seth, guys, I love that thought process. And quite frankly, I think our turf horses have gotten better. And I think our guys and gals here conditioning these horses have gotten better at getting them to compete with the Euros. I just do. I mean, the turf has become so prevalent in this country that we almost had to.
Yeah.
Right? We couldn't just let them come in, raid the money for the Breeders' Cup and the big great ones. You know, this Belmont Fall Championship meet, we saw it so many times. The Euros would come in, grab the money here, grab the money at the Breeders' Cup, and go back home. I think, I think some of my trainers here kind of got a little ticked off and just got better. And listen, that, of course, is led by guys like Hall of Famer Bill Mott, who, for my money, might be the greatest to ever put a saddle on a horse. Guys like Chad Brown, who brings some of the Euros over and kind of fights fire with fire. I like Antoinette today as well. I mean, the way this race shakes out, it's either setting the mood, setting a real slow pace, and Antoinette sitting off of it. But, you know, John Velasquez isn't a guy to be trifled with. If he sees Louis Sires trying to go 50 on the front end, he'll put Antoinette on a lead like he did last time in the Saratoga Oaks Invitational. I think she has the run of the race either just off a slow pace or setting a little bit of a quicker than slow pace, or a little bit of a moderate pace. And this all has to take Magic Attitude out of her favored running style, doesn't it? I mean, they figure to go even slower than they ordinarily do over in France. And I just kind of think that she's kind of up against it today. Now, look, like you said, she might just be better than these horses. That could very well be the case. And 5 years ago, she may have been a free bingo square. She's not anymore. And I feel like pace makes the race, and this race goes to Antoinette today.
Yeah, short field, and we just watched the stretch run of the Saratoga Oaks where Johnny Velasquez nursed her on the lead and got the nice gutsy win late, holding off Stunning Sky. I'm looking for the same thing today, so glad to hear you're on board as well. Let's turn the page a little bit earlier on the card at Saratoga. Race number 3. It's an optional claimer. Non-winners are 2 other than a mile and a 16th on the grass. 3-5 morning line favorite is Chad Klarovich's Spirit Animal, coming in off a nice close-up second at Saratoga last time, 1 down at Belmont, 2 starts back to start the 2020 season. You like Spirit Animal? You're going to go in another direction.
No, I took was the chalk eating leads on here. I took Spirit Animal, but I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to try some pick 3s. I'm playing a pick 5 like I always do. I'm using Spirit Animal, obviously, and I'm going to come back and make a ticket singling Spirit Animal again. Maybe even 3 tickets early on, because I have an opinion in the 4th as well, which we'll get to. 3 technique is very interesting to me today, guys. You know, Jeremiah Englehart gave this horse, I don't want to say he gave him a race, but he ran him in the Allen Jerkins off of a March to August layoff, so about 5.5 months he was gone. He didn't run particularly well. In fact, his the New York bred, whose name's escaping me, kind of ran better than him that day. The other horse that they ran, that came, Captain Bombastic, he kind of ran better than him that day. And now he comes back in here. He ran in that bog over to Saranac the day where all the other races came off the turf except the stakes. I want to give him one more chance. I'm not thrilled with the others in here. It's Spirit Animal's race to lose, I would think. But I want to give 3 Technique one more little bit of a look at, I'm hoping, a decent enough price.
I said during the handicappers report, I didn't know what to do with 3 Technique, because I think you're right, over the soft course last time, and that they come back on the turf, they clearly are not feeling that, oh, that was a failed turf experiment. They're going to try again. I didn't know what to do with them, but it could be interesting in there. 4th race at Belmont this afternoon. When we talked before we went on the air, you said you had a little opinion in here. You alluded to it again a moment ago. $16,000 conditional claimers going 3/4 of a mile. Your thoughts in race 4?
A lot of horsemen up at Saratoga liken the new surface to that of Aqueduct. It plays a little like Aqueduct does. And Big Boy Mo did not run particularly well at Saratoga. He did not have great races at Aqueduct either. He gets back to Belmont Park, where he has had some success. And he's a little bit of a price play today in a race where I'm not really in love with everything. He got Quick, his trainer, for the smaller stable he has. Pat does an amazing job. Pat's as good a horseman as we have on the backstretch here at Belmont and up at Saratoga. I want to give Big Boy Mo a little bit of a look today. He's going to be 6-8-1, I would think, and I think he has a real chance to win the fourth.
Yeah, he's interesting. I like, kind of like that angle, because if you look, the Belmont races do seem to be, they clearly are better than Aqueduct or Saratoga. I did not use Big Boy Mo, but now that you mention him, I may have to play around with that one a little bit as the afternoon progresses. Anthony, as always, appreciate the conversation, the thoughts, the opinions. Looking forward to watching you guys as we move through the Belmont meet with the pregame show. So, again, thanks for the visit, and we will talk again in the future.
We'll talk to you down the road. Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
Sounds good. The Big A, Anthony Stabile from NYRA pregame show and more. And, again, you can catch him on Horse Racing Radio Network as well fairly regularly. All right, let me hit you with some of the promos that are coming up. Today it's a double promo here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Spin a wheel or match bet promotion, and match bet promotion, both of them. So come on down and maybe you can get your chance to spin the wheel. There are some, I believe, vouchers on there, some swag or whatnot. So that's always a lot of fun. That'll happen throughout the afternoon. Folks randomly selected match bet promotion as well. That all happens today at the Clubhouse Racebook. Tomorrow it's an NFL Sunday. You can watch all the football action and catch all the racing action. Don't forget, at the Clubhouse Racebook, you can also grab some lunch. The bar is open as well. Sit down and enjoy. And if you're walking around, don't forget, you got to wear your mask and socially distance and whatnot, as at all the various venues, stores and restaurants and whatnot. We go by those rules as well. But when you sit down, you can take off the mask and enjoy all, as I say, the football action, all the racing action, maybe even a little lunch if you would like as well, here at the Clubhouse Racebook, NFL Sundays throughout the NFL season. That's all here, 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. 2 hours of fun, handicapper support, and racing across America. I said I'm wrapping it up for this morning. They're telling me the afternoon. I'm back for the afternoon. I said I'm wrapping it up. I got a little break coming up. They're making fun of it. Yeah, well, I am wrapping it up. Well, I could still talk for a few minutes. I'm actually wrapping it up at 11 o'clock. Yeah, I do tend to stretch it out a little long. So to avoid that, I will quickly wrap it up so we can get to the 11 o'clock hour and get one off on time for a change. But been fun, a fun morning, kind of kicking off the handicapper support for the post-Saratoga season. Racing Across America, taking a little preview, really good Woodbine card today with the Woodbine Mile. Again, we'll look at that on OTV Live later on this afternoon, and got some thoughts on the Belmont card today from the Big A, Anthony Stabile. So again, be back in about an hour and a half or so, I anticipate, for OTB Live. We'll look at a little Belmont, a little Woodbine, a little Churchill Downs. Monmouth will be in our mix as well on a Saturday afternoon. Looking forward to that. So hopefully give out some opinions that allow you to cash some tickets, because that's what it's all about. So I'm going to put a bow on this and wrap up Racing Across America for Saturday morning. We'll see you in a couple hours for OTB Live on a Saturday afternoon. See you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off Track Betting.